Good evening, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and I'm your host for another edition of the Creative Learning Concepts radio show, sponsored by Creative Learning Concepts, LLC. Creative Learning Concepts serves as a complement to the school systems, offering resources and assistance to students who, for whatever reason, may fall behind academically, socially, or behaviorally. Each show, we discuss how we can help young people achieve their full potential by providing assistance in testing, tutoring, counseling, behavior analysis and modification, and special needs assistance. Creative Learning Concepts works on a one-on-one, highly customized environment, which builds confidence and self-esteem. Their goal is to keep children engaged and wanting to come to school and actually enjoying the process of learning. We're here tonight talking with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We'll be right back on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute, talking this evening about assistance for students who face academic and social challenges. Now, Lisa, for some of our listeners who may be tuning in for the first time, and for those who've been listening all along, I'd like to just go over the types of students you see here at Creative Learning Concepts and at the Popper Institute. What types of challenges are they facing, and what types of the typical type of student that comes in to see you?
Anne-Marie, I have to say we see anybody, everybody with any three-letter diagnosis, four-letter diagnosis, diagnoses that nobody's ever heard of, but typically dyslexia, ADHD. Oh, and now there's another ADD. It's called the other ADD. It's called, I forgot the letters. It's OCD. No, it's CDD. We'll have to go over that one again. But it's a concentration deficit disorder, and it's kind of iffy. They're not sure of the diagnosis. Some people, children and adults alike, have some of the symptoms, but it's still on the fence. But there's always another diagnosis for everybody to be concerned about. But dyslexia, autism spectrum disorders, from stem to stern, we treat everything and everyone.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the category of ADD and ADHD that you referred to. And I would like to ask you, are these diagnoses coming in from the teachers? Are the kids being sent to pediatricians, first of all? How does someone come up with a definitive diagnosis the kid isn't just overactive or just distracted? And are you able to tell when they come in to you? Do they have to come in with a letter from a doctor, pediatrician, teacher? How do you know if it's not just an overenergetic child?
Well, I have to say that many times when the teacher says, oh, it's got to be ADHD, they don't know enough about the diagnosis. Most teachers are not trained enough in these disorders to say, well, it's this diagnosis or that diagnosis. Well, in order for them to get treated by the school and the school district, they need to have a formal diagnosis. And what I would do is send the child to the pediatrician first, and then the pediatrician, if he or she is not trained enough in a specific diagnosis that they may be questioning, then they'll refer them to either a neuropsychologist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And then once that formal diagnosis is made, then you can get services from the school.
Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, going to see the pediatrician and getting the diagnosis from the pediatrician. And, of course, there's always a question out there among many parents about medication. Are you seeing a lot of kids who have just been maybe medicated for a while before they eventually come to you? Or does the pediatrician give the medication after they've already come to you? How does that work?
Don't get me started on the medication, because I used to be pro-medication. Now I'm almost on the other side. I used to say I'm on the fence, but I see kids medicated who shouldn't be medicated. I see kids over-medicated. I see kids having, they're on medication and they have side effects and nobody's noticing the side effects. You have to be aware of so many different things, and what's a godsend for one child will be a nightmare for another. And my own son was medicated. He was diagnosed with ADHD at a very young age, and I didn't medicate him for several years later because I didn't know anything about ADHD and medications. And parents out there, read up on everything and question everything, because every kid has a different body chemistry. And you might metabolize a medication quicker than somebody else, and you'll have to crisscross your doses and take a dose at 4 hours instead of 6 hours. And there are also time-released medications for these diagnoses that work better than a pill 3 times a day.
Okay, so another question I have for you is that when kids come in and they are on medication, is that like a lifelong sentence to be on medication, or can they eventually hope to get off it through coming to your clinic?
I don't think it's a lifelong occurrence with medication. I think that you can learn to maintain an even keel. You learn how to manage the diagnosis. You learn how, through behavioral exercises and meditation, all kinds of things can be done.
And what are you doing with these kids when they come into the clinic? What do you start off with, first of all, in order to get them on a program?
Well, first of all, I have to gain their trust, and I have to see what they're all about personality-wise, whether they're an outgoing child, a more inward child, and then I know what's appropriate for them, and then we go from there.
So it's an interesting category. We're here tonight talking about ADHD and ADD, one of the many spectrum disorders and challenges that are treated here at Creative Learning Concepts. We're going to go to a quick break, and in the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students who face academic and social challenges. Now, Lisa, in the last segment, we were discussing some of the diagnoses and some of the challenges that you treat in your clinic, and we talked a lot, or we started to talk about ADD and ADHD and what it's all about and kids getting diagnosed. I'd like to ramp it up a little bit and fast forward, not just to the young kids that are coming in, but the very important time of their academic career, which is high school, that counts tremendously. And I have been exposed to and heard of parents whose kids were diagnosed as late as in their sophomore or junior year, and who were struggling academically, and nobody knew they had ADHD or ADD. How did this diagnosis skip, and what are the ramifications of that?
That's a great question, because what I'm seeing nowadays are two working parent families. They're not home. They're not aware of what's going on in school. And as you get older, you don't really share as much with your parents. And unless they're failing out of school and you get a phone call from the teacher in school, and you're probably not going to get one as frequently in high school as you will in middle school and elementary school, but it has a profound effect on student self-esteem. They haven't been diagnosed. They're struggling in school. They don't fit in anywhere. They don't feel like they fit in because they're not measuring up to the other students their age, and they don't know what to do, and they can't put their finger on it. They don't know what to tell their parents because they can't do well in school. Chances are they've got emotional issues as well, and it has a profound effect on them emotionally and where they're going to get in when it comes to college.
Well, I had an experience with a friend of ours where they had a daughter and a son in high school, and the daughter zipped right through and did very well in private, actually in a private school. And the son was just struggling, and the mother said to me, well, I'm noticing that my daughter has taken the same classes from the same teachers and got the same amount of homework, and the son was spending 3 hours on each subject. And they labored through this, not knowing exactly what was going on and why was it taking him this long to get through the academic work. And, of course, being in a private school, they had the double whammy of paying the big tuition bills and the pressure of knowing that the ACT and the SAT are going to come up, and this huge, huge, huge performance anxiety and this pressure to succeed. So my question is, how does that diagnosis happen? And what should a parent do if they see that they're taking their kids to all these tutors and trying to keep the kid ahead of the game academically?
Well, the key is to diagnose early, but it's not always the case. When you diagnose early, there's a time factor not involved where it's going to have a profound effect on the student in many different areas. But when you're taking them from tutor to tutor, you're really missing the boat. There's no diagnosis there. What you need to do first off, before taking your son or daughter to a tutor, take them to a psychologist or a neuropsychologist to get a diagnosis. And then you take the necessary steps to make sure they succeed.
So I guess it's a pretty hard thing to do then because, you know, for most parents, they're leaving the kids to their own resources to figure out how they're going to get through various and sundry academic subjects. And especially if you're talking about freshman or sophomore year in high school, you know, there's the question of, well, does he just not get history? Is he doesn't read fast enough, or does he not have a scientific brain? And whereas when it's across the board and they're spending all this money on tutors, there might be something else going on. And that also begs the question of, at the end of the semester, the first year, these kids are going to have grades that are going to affect their GPA, and that GPA is eventually going to roll into an overall GPA, so that when it comes into the junior year, going into the senior year, applying to colleges, they may wind up, after they're in treatment and after they are, you know, coming to see someone like you who's a professional, knows how to deal with it, they may wind up suffering academically when they go to apply to college because now they're not going to look so great on the GPA score. What do you have to say about that, and how can that be handled?
Now, that is the worst case scenario. But like I said, when you get an early diagnosis, you go down a different path. And you can, even though it's in some cases it's a late diagnosis and it does affect where you end up going to college, if you leave a paper trail through high school, it can follow you through college, and you can get services in college and go down the right path.
Yeah, I understand that they can get services, but I'm just wondering, it's a pity that you're not able to sort of obliterate the GPA of the first and second year, because after all, the student was suffering from something that was undiagnosed. And now once they get into this, in the cases that I've heard of from various parents, when it is noticed and when it is diagnosed and when they get on the right track, and either they get medicated or they come to a clinic where, you know, a specialist like you is treating them, now all of a sudden you can see dramatic, hugely dramatic changes, you know, going from a, you know, GPA of 1.5 to a GPA of 3.8. But they can't ever get over and beyond that, you know, early failure, so to speak. And, you know, that's a whole nother, you know, can of worms, because you've got to come over the feeling of failure and the disenchantment of where am I going to go and how can I keep up, and, you know, just the self-esteem question. Is there anything that can be done with the fact that they weren't doing so well academically in the first year of high school?
You know what? Working with a professional such as Creative Learning Concepts, we work with kids during the summer, and I can't tell you how important summer is, and it doesn't matter how old you are. As a matter of fact, I think it's more important, you know, the older you are, because you are going to apply to school. You are going to take the ACT or the SAT. And even with a diagnosis, during the summer, you can leap one step ahead, one huge step ahead for the next year, which is probably going to count more than your first year of high school and your college years and your choice of colleges. So get that extra help you need during the summer. It's crucial.
And you actually have a couple of students in here that have been with you for some time now and have made leaps and bounds in progress, and they are now getting ready to go off to college, and they're going to be staying with you. Is that right?
Yes, through college. I think it's essential, especially the first year. That's a struggle. You have a new kind of schedule. You have time management. You have all kinds of new issues that you have to deal with. You're getting used to a new ball of wax. You know, high school's high school. College is serious business, and you really have to put your nose to the grindstone. And if you don't have good study habits and you don't have good time management, it's a real struggle. And at Creative Learning Concepts, we don't just teach academics, and we don't just teach, you know, meditation and relaxation techniques. We teach study habits. We teach time management. It's not just crucial for school. It's crucial for whatever you do in your life.
And I know that, you know, ADHD and ADD obviously are not necessarily one disorder. There are several aspects to it. And do you want to just let us know how many there are and a little bit about that?
Oh, it's really scary. There are 7 subtypes to ADHD. And if you think your son or daughter has ADHD but you're not sure, please give us a call, and we'll take a look, and we'll tell you what's going on.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and in the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa directly by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students who face academic and social challenges. Now, in the last couple of segments of the show, Lisa, we were talking to you about the diagnosis and treatment for ADD and ADHD, which that conversation can go on forever, because there's certainly a lot of subcategories and subdiagnoses and examples of kids who have it at various and sundry ages. And we understand that you see people all the way through high school that have that challenge facing them. Anyway, I wanted to move on a little bit to some of the other things you do in the clinic here and some of the other students' types of diagnoses that you take care of. And what about dyslexia and dysgraphia? Can you let us know what that is, when it's diagnosed, and what it means?
Well, there's the most important thing that everybody needs to keep in mind is that there are different degrees of every diagnosis. You can be severely dyslexic. You can be severely dysgraphic, and I'll explain the two in just a minute. But everybody's different. You could have a room full of 10 kids with dyslexia, and they'll all be different. And it's whenever you have a diagnosis, a lot of times you have other diagnoses with them. For instance, kids who are diagnosed with ADHD often have depression, often have OCD, often have just various other diagnoses along with them, and you have to keep that in mind. And with dyslexia, I can say dyslexia is not seeing things backwards. It's a neurological disorder, and pardon me, and you might write things backwards. You might confuse an E with a 3. But if you're doing this, and a lot of kids do that when they're learning how to write, they confuse similar-looking characters, numbers and letters alike. And if your child is has confusion past the age of 8, then it would be time for concern. And then, yes, dyslexia would pop into my mind. And at Creative Learning Concepts, we know the difference. So if you have any of these concerns at home or your child's having difficulty in school, please, please, please call us and bring your child in. But dyslexia is more a disorder with the language system. And you can confuse all the dis's. There are so many. And an issue with phonological processing. And that, I could talk about that in a whole show. But
what's phonological processing? I mean, I heard you throw that out there and I thought, whoa, I don't know what that is, but I kind of think I know what it is.
It's all part of learning language and learning literacy, and it's all part of the different systems of language. Phonemes, which is the smallest unit of language, learning to make a sentence, learning that words have different parts. That's what that's all about. And kids with dyslexia, and there have been the most successful individuals who have been diagnosed with dyslexia later in life as adults. Cher, Dustin Hoffman, I can think of so many of them, but their names escape me right now. But like I said about everything, you have to get diagnosed early so you can manage your symptoms. There's another one that I didn't want to forget, dysgraphia. And put in a nutshell, in layman's terms, it's being afraid of numbers, not being able to use numbers properly. If you see somebody not being able to do a story problem, not being able to extract the pertinent information in order to do the mathematics required for the story problem, not being able to count by twos and fours and sixes, and not, you know, money, anything having to do with numbers, difficulty, even writing them. Dysgraphia, numbers, excuse me, I made a huge mistake. That's dyscalculia is numbers, fear of numbers. Dysgraphia is writing, the inability. A lot of dyslexic kids have the inability to write cursive. That's why everybody should have a laptop and not worry about it, you know? But there are so many disses, it's easy to become confused. And at Creative Learning Concepts, we handle them all.
So dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, was that what it was? I was trying to remember the word. Anyway, that's certainly a ball of yarn that needs to be unwrapped. And once again, I would just like to know, is this something that's with them their entire life? Is it something that can be cured? Is it, you know, you've mentioned some famous actors that obviously got over and it didn't interfere with them, but is it something that they, when you're treating them in the clinic here, that they eventually get over it?
Like anything else, you learn to manage the symptoms, and something comes to mind that I think is really important. A lot of kids with dyslexia are still taking the ACTs and the SATs. And in some instances, in some of the private schools, they're providing the students with scribes. And they're taking the ACT in a separate room, and the scribe reads the problem to the student, and the student answers it that way. It provides a different tool where they're not going to misread something, or they're not going to miss a step where they get the problem incorrectly.
That's interesting. That's just like having a translator then. It's kind of like, you know, having somebody who's translating it for you, speaking it back and forward, which obviously, as you said, this is something that's just started up, and it's would have been nice to have had that many years ago with kids that, that didn't have that advantage and suffered and certainly in test taking. You also mentioned that some of these kids also have OCD. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what is OCD and how do people get it and how do you treat it?
Oh, OCD stands for obsessive compulsive disorder, and it has to do with one of the subtypes of ADHD. It's a hyperfocus. It has to do with hyperfocusing and a having to do something perfectly. You might see somebody line up trains and walk away, then they come back and they move it so it's perfectly lined up, and they look at it and they keep lining it up and lining it up. Or a student who is writing a paper. I had a student who wrote and would go over the letters over and over and over again to the point where you couldn't read what he wrote. And I ended up having him dictate what he wanted to write to me, and I would either write it or I'd type it on my laptop.
So obsessive compulsive disorder is actually basically what it says it is. And isn't that the disorder where people are washing their hands continuously and repetitive behaviors and, you know, constantly repeating the same behavior over and over again? Just enlighten us a little bit on that.
There's a book called The Boy Who Couldn't Stop Washing, where they wash their hands over and over and over again until the skin is totally raw, or locking a door and unlocking it, going into your car and thinking, okay, did I lock the door? Going back to the door and making sure it's locked, and you shake the door and make sure the door is locked. Just a repetitive behavior, and a lot of times it's treated with medication.
And do you know what the types of medications are? What kind of medication they're using? Or is that something that it's individualized and maybe the pediatrician or the doctor decides?
I know of some kids who got beta blockers, and it was relaxing, and they took them at night.
Well, we're kind of running out of time on that subject. We've got to go and take a quick break. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute, talking this evening about assistance for students who face social and academic challenges. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students who face academic and social challenges. Lisa, we've had a lively conversation this evening about ADD, ADHD, OCD, dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia. We kind of gone through some of the things you do here, which is by far not nearly all of the things you use to treat children with challenges. I did want to talk a little bit about the Popper Institute. We mentioned that you are the director of the Popper Institute, and that arm of your business is for research and development, for training therapists, and the method which you do here, you train your own therapists very thoroughly so that they are passing on your methods to students that come in, lecture series and seminars. And now I want to just switch over to your book publishing, because you have been very prolific over the years in developing and publishing your own books to help children, I believe, that have problems with literacy. And it's too bad that we are just a talk show and not a TV show, or you'd see how pretty and nice and cute these books look. They're very well illustrated, very easy to read, and you've got them for many, I guess, all the different sounds in the alphabet. I'm looking at Timmy the Turtle, which the target sound is T or T. Katie the Kung Fu Kangaroo. My Rad Dad, which the target sound is Ad. Danny the Dragon and Muddy Mud. Now, these are just a few. They're very... Oh, what about the Nut Hut for the Ut sound, the target sound? Anyway, I'm going to let you talk about the books and why you develop them, how you use them. And once again, I want to let our listeners know that they can go to the website or call Lisa to order the books. But I'm going to let you explain to the listeners what these books are all about.
The books are so fun. You can't just teach kids. You have to motivate them to want to learn. And at Creative Learning Concepts, we use these books. There is, oh, you know which one you didn't mention, Anne-Marie? You didn't mention Bunny Bop. That's one of the kids' favorite ones. And it is not here right now. Oh, well, it's just got, all the books have rhythm and rhyme, and the kids end up dancing while they're being read to. And we sit in circle time for the small group sections, and I even sit one-on-one with the little ones. And it's just, all the pictures are so colorful. Each target sound is, oh, that one. Each target sound, especially the clown with the upside down frown, that's a more complex sound. But Timmy the Turtle has T's in bold type. And each book has a theme or a story. Timmy the Turtle is all about hope. And Nifty Noodles, yes, the main objective is the N sound, but everybody loves to eat noodles. Each book is politically correct, as far as I'm concerned, but they're all so whimsical, and these books make kids want to read. And in addition to the books, we have every one of these books on CD. Because it's a known fact that within a very small period of time, if the kids read the books along with listening to the CD simultaneously, their reading rate goes up almost 70% in a three-month period of time. How about that, Anne-Marie?
It's fabulous. I'm looking at them as you're talking about them, and they're so colorful, and the illustrations are just fabulous. Each page is a wonderful illustration, and I'm looking at Dale the whale here. I really appreciate how having the pictures, the pictorials, the illustrations, and just the whole presentation. They're little, they're easy, and they're very colorful, and obviously they are extremely helpful for kids with literacy problems.
They sure are, and you've got to get kids to want to read, because reading is the foundation of everything they will do in their lives. It'll help them with story problems. It'll help them with history, with science. If you don't read, you don't learn.
Well, I think that's absolutely true, and I think that you've obviously enjoyed a lot of success with these books, and you do sell them individually and in packets, so I think that it would be a good thing for teachers and for parents to be able to get a hold of you and order these literacy books. Well, we're out of time tonight, and that does it again for another Creative Learning Concepts radio show, sponsored by Creative Learning Concepts, LLC, on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and again, I want to thank Lisa Popper, Director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute. You can contact Lisa Popper and the Popper Institute by calling 844-4-POPPER. That's 844-4-POPPER. Or online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that's creativelearningconceptsmi.com. We're closing tonight's show with the ABC Rap, conceived and co-written by Lisa Popper and performed by Detroit rapper Lofat and violinist Siobhan Cronin. Please do what you can to keep your children engaged, excited, motivated, and in love with learning. For them and for us all, good night, and as always, enjoy the music.
Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Always stay in school, yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Constantly concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Just pull your weight or down, down you will go. Education is the key to the world, yo. Just find your way to good things, and you can see all the joy education brings. A, always stay in school, it's the coolest thing. B, be the best you can be if you just believe. C, concentration would always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. E, education will make a better you. F means you find your way if you stay in school. G is for good grade equals hard work. The guys who ain't in school is the real jerks. H, be a hero and do what you gotta do. How you gon' make it if you don't stay in school? I, independence will always shine through. J, just stay focused to make a better you. K, keep it pushing and never stop. L, mean a better listener will always learn a lot. M, stay motivated and never lazy. Even when life get hectic, it's all gravy. N, never say never, never lose hope. I don't care if your back is up against the ropes. O, overcome life diversities. P is for the people who believe. If you believe it in your heart, then you should achieve. Q means ask questions, don't be ashamed. Your voice counts too, now let them know your name. R is for keep it real at all times. We all know education build a strong mind. S is for success, now let's get it. T is for the truth, for the young youth. U is for all race to unite. V is for the victory, it is the sight. W is where there's a will, that's a way. X mark the spot why you can't zest through the day. Yeah, through the day, yeah, through the day, yeah. Always stay in school, yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Always stay in school, yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things.